Quite a unique scripture in some ways for an Advent text as we approach the coming of our Lord, as our title tells us today. This season, when we reflect on Jesus' arrival as an infant child, the Savior of the world, we take pause in the middle of this season and we reflect on a passage that was written several hundred years before the arrival of our Lord, written by one reflecting upon the goodness and joy that is given in God. But how appropriate that the psalmist would remind us that it is God, the giver of life, and especially as we see and proclaim it in Advent, in the coming of Jesus, that God is the one who gives joy. The psalmist says here, an important reminder to us as he reflects upon those who were once in bondage. You see, this passage was written upon the reflection of the people of Israel in Babylon, and how when they came home, they knew and understood in a fresh way, in a revived way, in a renewed way, what it was to experience joy in their Savior. In other words, it seems the psalmist is saying to us, he's proclaiming a reminder to the people of Israel and to us modern day people of faith, when we walk through challenges in life, through bondage as the people Israel did, as people held imprisoned in a strange land, or when we modern day folks go through the challenges, the darkness, the junk of life, going through those and making it through gives us more reason. On the other side, once we've made it through, once we've endured through the strength of our Lord, we know an abundance then of joy. Joy. That feeling that supersedes and transcends happiness. You know, so often we strive to be happy in our world, don't we? But happiness, most often, is strictly and strangely, I guess, dependent upon the circumstances. We're happy when things go our way, when we get what we want, when life turns in the direction we would like it to turn. Happiness so often is wrapped around circumstances. But if we listen closely to the words of the psalmist and the message throughout Scripture, joy is that great gift of exuberance that can transcend circumstances. That experience of abundance and fullness in our God that is beyond whatever's happening around us. You know, I heard it described once, the choice for joy is so much rooted in our attitude, in our approach to what God has done for us. Sometimes we live much like thermometers. We as people living in this world, when we base our happiness on situations and circumstances, we're like thermometers. We fluctuate with what's happening around us. We learn those at the very youth of our age. What a thermometer does, it gauges our well-being. It lives out whether we can skip school when we say our stomach's hurting. I remember trying. I learned what a thermometer was in the first grade. Did y'all know it? I tried to skip school. I didn't want to go. And my mean old mama, she popped a thermometer in my mouth and made me prove it. I didn't pass the test either. The thermometer gauges our well-being, and it fluctuates. Or we think about a thermometer on the side of the wall that tells us the temperature outside. It has no control. It just moves about by what's happening around us. So often, if we live by the ways of the world, we let our happiness be controlled like a thermometer by what's happening around us. If things are up, we're up. Oh, but if things are down, if it's not good around us, we're down. Or maybe the opposite's true. If you turn up the heat on me, well, I can turn it right back up on you. We fluctuate. When we base and strive only for happiness by what's happening around us. But true people of joy, the true pursuit of living in that exuberance that only God can give is when we live not like thermometers, but like thermostat people. You see, we know how those work too, don't we? At least the less technical thermostats. These here are a little bit hard for us to figure out, aren't they, Wayne? Wayne and I can't fool with them. We have to ask Linda and guide us in the ways of wisdom there. You have to program these things. You have to take a test. But let's talk about those old-timey thermostats. We understand those, don't we? We just slide that little contraption and we set it on the temperature that we want and it's set. The thermostat, unlock the thermometer, doesn't find itself fluctuating by what's happening around it. It doesn't go up and down as the temperature and events change. In fact, not only is a thermostat not affected by what's happening outside, but the thermostat affects what's happening around it. That's the pursuit. And the call for us as people of faith to live out joy, it's not rooted on what's happening around us, but it's a willingness to not be impacted by what's happening out there, but our attitude to impact the world around us for God's goodness and joy. Joy is an unwillingness to be influenced by the circumstances, and it's a commitment to live in God's grace and love no matter what. Now that's joy. That feeling that transcends circumstances. You know, there's a beautiful passage in the Gospel of Mark. Some call it, in the latter part of chapter 10, some call it the scripture, the text of the reading of blind Bartimaeus. And in that passage of scripture, it tells us that as Jesus was approaching Jericho, that ancient city, and he was passing through, that the word came to Bartimaeus. He couldn't see. He didn't see the throngs of people wandering along, but he heard the chatter. Can you imagine? Bartimaeus heard the chatter that someone special was coming. Someone that could restore joy. And Bartimaeus, in the sounds of the approaching crowd, cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." Well, we know what the church folk did, don't we? The church folk said, "Shh, be quiet. Bartimaeus, you're not worthy. Bartimaeus, hush up. You're an outcast. Bartimaeus, you're living as a result of your sinfulness. Bartimaeus, you don't deserve the glory of the one that's about to come this way." But Bartimaeus cried out even more loudly, our scripture says. And then Jesus does something that only a Savior of the world would do. He stops. He pauses. And he says, "Bring the one in need to me." And he asks Bartimaeus, "What do you want?" And in this passage, in some translations of Scripture, not all of them, but in some translations, in your pew Bible today, in fact, Bartimaeus says these words, "Lord, I want to see." But it doesn't end with that. The word "see" is not the last word uttered by Bartimaeus. He says, "Lord, I want to see," and then ends it with this word, "again." Wow. this, yearned to have his sight restored, and he trusted in the Savior of the world to do it. See, the beauty of that passage was Bartimaeus had known life with sight, and he yearned to have that joy restored to him. You see, that's what happens when we live in darkness as Bartimaeus did. When we go through the perils of life, doesn't it, friends, make the light and the joy of life that much better? We certainly don't like the hardships, the darkness as Bartimaeus, the perils that we endure. But in walking through those journeys of life, it makes that appetite as Bartimaeus had, that yearning to see, that joy for restoration to live out in us that much more. We know joy once we've known peril. And in that passage of Scripture, you know what Bartimaeus does when Jesus calls him? In the first century world, an important garment for those people were an item called a cloak. A cloak was that external garment that would drape loosely over one's body. It was their shelter in storms, their bed covering in the cold evening. And especially important to one who had no sight like Bartimaeus, it was a means of survival. If he didn't have his cloak, he would have been defenseless against the elements, perhaps even the attack of robbers. The cloak was a necessity for survival. And in this passage, when we look at it closely and we listen with fresh ears, it tells us that Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he sprang up in joy and followed the Lord. Friends, that's the response that we have when Jesus comes into our midst. As the Savior of the world, he gives to us a joy that the cloak and shelter of the world cannot. And we as people of faith can spring forth with the joy of Bartimaeus, trusting no longer in items and things that only offer us survival. Bartimaeus had only been existing. But in Jesus, in the Savior, he found joy and abundance for life. You know, during this season of Advent, I often remember one of the first Advent seasons that I shared in as a pastor. I gathered with my congregation and we had a special season where we would share weekly Advent services. And during those services, we'd have a portion of prayer time where we would reflect upon our sins, our confession. We would celebrate the forgiveness of our God. We would pray for the people, the sick, the hurting. And also, we would pray in prayers of thanksgiving. One of the beautiful members of my congregation there in Rogersville, Alabama, was an older gentleman named Hugh Kaler. And Hugh had, he'd been in a wheelchair for several years. He'd known tragic health throughout many years of his life. He'd had heart trouble and physical ailments that crippled his body and much of his spirit. He just was one of those who seemed to be sick more than they were healthy. And during our portion of pausing and praying and reflecting upon what we were thankful for, I remember thinking to myself, as a wise, young, greenhorn pastor, I didn't want to say that I was thankful for my health. Because I didn't want to rub it in Hugh's face, you know. I didn't want to make him feel bad. I had good health, but he didn't. So I didn't want to bring up the subject. Hadn't we all been in those situations before? Just don't want to mention it. So as I pause and I bow my head and I'm reflecting upon things I'm thankful for, and we've gone through the gamut of several people being thankful for this and that and another, Someone finally said it. My fear, they uttered what I didn't think we needed to say in that assembly. Someone said, without giving much thought, Lord, thank you for my health. And I looked up to see how it may have struck old Hugh hearing someone else being thankful. And it was then that I realized that the words had come from Hugh himself. Lord, thank you for my health. Friends, this is the season of joy. And in joy, an important ingredient is our attitude and response to whatever the world gives us. It's a willingness. It's a passion to look beyond what we don't have into the joy of what we do have. A Savior who's claimed us as His own and gifted us with life, love, and yes, joy forever.